Thanks everybody for checking out Equity Guru's report on Quest, which is about to go public. I have with me David Luxton, who is the head honcho over there, the high priest of military tech. I think if I was to summarize Quest in a nutshell, I've looked at it as being the things that we see as technologies on shoot 'em up video games, things like bullet counters and the like that don't actually exist in the real world. David's company is creating them in the meat space. Would that be a good summary for you, David?
Yes, that's right. It's taking video game and Hollywood effects and bringing it to the real world in a way that has some real breakthrough value for end users.
So I think even something, we kind of consider the amount of money that the American military spends and the amount of technological heft that goes into keeping that wheel moving. I think we assume that the most basic things exist in the world, but you know, something like an indicator telling you that you're about to run out of bullets isn't always out there in the real world. So do you see a ton of opportunities to do even relatively simple technology things?
Well, we're in a number of niche areas, as you know, Chris, with the portfolio of technologies we have. So the opportunity set is enormous. It's global. They're all niche markets, a lot of them focused at the special operations community, but really bringing future capability to the real world now.
It seems though it's maybe not even really future capabilities. It's like relatively simple things that if you were like starting from scratch, would be obvious things that exist, but you know, rifles, for as an example, there's a lot of technology that goes into making them accurate, but the usability side, the user interface, isn't necessarily been a focus. Talk us through some of the products that you've been working on, some of the things that you've acquired that would make the modern day military that much more efficient.
Sure. Well, TASCS is our signature system, as I know you're aware of, and that stands for Tactical and Situational Control System. And the first thing that does it creates real-time awareness and targeting information from any source, including drones, and it streams this directly to the soldier's smart devices. They all have those. But it also goes further and streams that same information right onto their weapons. And this turns their weapons into essentially a video game, but it's a serious video game for the real world, totally intuitive to younger soldiers who have grown up in this digital age.
Mm-hmm. So what stage of development are you at with that technology?
So that technology is it's developed. It's been through a couple of years of trials, particularly with the U.S. military. That's advanced to where it has now been incorporated into U.S. military exercises. We're very pleased with the results of that. We think the customer is pleased with that, and we expect follow-on work from that. And we've got some good, strong partners in the U.S. market to help facilitate our progress forward on that.
Now, the U.S. obviously is the prime candidate for products. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be necessarily selling high-tech military to Russia or Upper Moldova, but the political situation in the U.S. right now is a little fraught. Do you see that amping up military spending, or do you see it maybe creating a pause?
Well, military spending isn't a monolithic picture. There's things they're always increasing their budgets for, things they may decrease their budgets on, but it's a stated high priority for them to move forward with the kind of network systems that Quest is able to provide, and in other niche areas where they have urgent operational requirements, and we're able to address them with our other products and technologies. So we see government spending on that remaining strong, not just in the U.S., but around the world.
So what other countries would you say that are in the focus for you potentially?
Yeah, so all NATO countries, for one, are migrating to networked soldier systems. There's lots of information out there about that. So we're happy to be focused on that space. It's projected to be about a $14 billion U.S. market by 2024. So we're positioned to follow that growth trajectory as the market moves.
And is there any competition in that space? Is it a hot ticket, or are you front running your competitors?
We don't know for any of the things that we offer. We don't know of any direct competition. Neither does the customer. I mean, we have pretty intimate relations with customers. They tell us what's going on in the industry, what they've seen. They certainly tell us what their problems are, and they tell us they haven't seen anything like the things we offer.
Right. So with the tactical laser defeat system, explain to me what that is.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one. It's addressing an emerging problem people have read about in certain parts of the world. It's coming to a theater near us. It's illegal to weaponize lasers and use them against personnel. But there are countries who are not signatories to these conventions. And so they have weaponized lasers, and they're using them to great effect in certain parts of the world, parts of the world where we have NATO troops deployed. And so NATO countries came to us with a requirement to find a solution to this. And what this laser weapon does is it will do a scan at ground level looking for anything optical. And that can be binoculars, sniper scopes, observation scopes, or bare eyeballs. And then it emits a very high laser beam that fries them. And so you can imagine the kind of injuries that creates. And beyond the injuries, it's a weapon of real sort of mass effect. And so we did come up with a product set that addresses this and really changes the equation, because it will not only alert forces on the ground to the presence of the laser weapon, but it will also pinpoint its location on our task system that we talked a little bit about.
Yep.
And that then allows the user to deploy countermeasures, and they can see exactly where it is on the task display. If they have task systems daisy chained onto their weapon systems, they can just press send, and they've effected a countermeasure that's neutralized the laser weapon.
So these aren't just technologies that are bringing greater capabilities by themselves as standalones. They're networked in a way that, I guess, amplifies the effectiveness of each of them.
That's right. If you've got soldiers that are able to have a common operating picture, a situational awareness, and if you have that same picture replicated onto their weapons, and they can see where everyone's weapon is engaging, then you can coordinate and converge fire much more effectively onto an adversary. And with indirect fire weapons, just as important, you can be safer because you can be further back, you can be behind cover, and you're just putting your cursor that really acts as your weapon sight onto the adversary's position. You fire and forget. So it makes the soldier much safer and much more operationally effective.
So you've also got the drone threat and counter solution as well. So I guess that adds to that as well. And once you hit that cursor, you can send in the drones.
Well, you can send it in that way, or you could aim it using a task device, or, and this is one of the real beauties of it, it can be just fully autonomous. So it has in its nose cone of this mini or micro missile-looking drone of ours, it inertial guidance systems, micro cameras, AI software, drone recognition capability, and it can go up autonomously. There can just be hand-deployed by a soldier and go up in the air. It can do what we call acquire the target, recognize it, acquire it, lock onto it, chase it, hunt it, and kill it with kinetic impact. There's no explosives on board, but that kinetic impact at 350 kilometers an hour certainly does the job, and it takes the drone down.
Wow. So this is really, you know, it's interesting. It's high-tech stuff, but it's not. Like, it's stuff that we see on TV. It's stuff that we see in video games, but it's not stuff that exists in the real world where we're still, like, locking and loading.
Yeah, that's right. It's a good point. I mean, people watch movies and they think these kinds of capabilities exist in the real world. And right. As you say, they don't.
I had a friend that that was in CSIS. A couple of years back, I said to him, you know, I was watching 24 and, you know, they use a satellite to catch a car and they zoom in to get the license plate and they say enhance and the picture gets clearer. I said to him, is that real? Is that sort of stuff real? He said, yeah, but it takes about 2 months instead of 2 seconds, which may be a little bit sad. You know, I thought maybe things were a bit more progressed. There is also, I guess there's a side of this for a lot of people who might be investors who say there's definitely money to be made here. There's always a concern when you're dealing with military technology that it can end up on the other side of our political coin. What's to stop someone reverse engineering what you've got and doing Quest Eastern Bloc?
Yeah, well, good question. First of all, we don't sell to certain countries, right? We stay on the side of the angels. But inevitably, adversaries can get hold of equipment. And without giving away all of our secrets, it would be impossible for someone to reverse engineer this. In a lot of cases, a secret sauce is the software, and the device is tamper-proof. And so if they try and open it up and reverse engineer it, they just vaporize it.
Okay, that's good to know. How long have you been doing this? Like, there are a few companies out there that have recently gone public in the last year or two that have been in the military space, but they've all been very new companies. Mm-hmm. How long has Quest been doing, or how long have you been doing what you're doing?
Well, and Quest is a relatively new company. It started operations in early 2017. But the team has been in this industry for decades, and this is one of our advantages. We understand requirements. We understand the customer. We have close ongoing communications with the customer and with OEMs in the industry, and that's important because they can be vital partners in pulling us into their programs, not just in the U.S. but around the world. Added to that is the fact that we've been at this so many years that we have a very mature network of agents and representatives internationally. And so we work with them to cultivate international opportunities.
So for somebody who was tinkering in their garage and came up with something that they thought would be interesting for the military, the process of getting in the foot in the door, of getting background checks, of getting to a place where you could actually sell something is pretty long, right?
Yeah, it'd be almost impossible. It is probably frustrating for them. They come up with a better mousetrap and they think the military market will beat a path to their door, and it's just not that simple. So with the advantage of having been in the industry as long as we have, first of all, we know if it's a better mousetrap that the customer would use or not. We know how to, in the course of commercializing these things, how to do what's called operationalizing it within the customer's doctrine, tactics, techniques, and procedures. And all this is absolutely essential to be able to introduce new capability to market.
So, I guess that's an interesting thing, is that part of the process that you're engaged in is, you know, if someone says, I'll take a million of your drone catches, it's not just a case of going and setting up a production line in China. They want to know all the way down through production that everything's going to be secure, it's going to be consistent, it's going to be within trusted vendors and suppliers. Am I right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, China is the one place we wouldn't go. Yeah, to source anything. Our model is outsource production. We've done this through previous incarnations very effectively. And so there's a real vetted supply chain of vendors who can reliably supply high quality components and supply from North America for everything that we produce.
That obviously costs a lot more, but in the industry that you're in, cost isn't that much of an impediment when you're dealing with technology that no one else has going to the military, which pays its bills on time.
Yeah, and the U.S. military, all militaries really value capability above everything else, and support. and reliability. So when you can offer that, you become a preferred source of solutions.
So that the fact that you're outsourcing that production, I guess that allows you to really scale really quickly if you need to, if you get a mass order in.
Yeah, that's an explicit part of our operating model. It gives us great operating leverage, very small CapEx. Vendors are already supplying all the product, investing in all of the plant and equipment. And so as revenue scales, profits scale even faster.
So a couple of months ago, you completed an acquisition of an electronic decoy technology. What can you tell me about that Sage Gold deal?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I can tell you. There's some security sensitivities around that. But in concept, the problem it solves is that if our friendly troops are deployed in a remote part of the world, they're giving off electronic signatures, right? With all the devices they're operating. Even unsophisticated bad guys can pretty readily detect that. And so you've just given away your position. And so that's dangerous. You're now exposed. And what the electronic decoy does is just that. It spoofs or fools adversaries into thinking you are where you're not. So you, with us able to miniaturize these in a way that's never before been possible, you sprinkle these into an area of operations. And now the bad guys don't know where the good guys are. And it also draws them out for reconnaissance, or draws them out in an attack on a false position. It's buying time for our friendly forces to complete their mission, and it's cloaking them.
It's amazing. And so that combined with the other technologies that we've talked about, it all really works as one closed system where each element is adding effectiveness to each other element.
Yeah, that's right. There's that virtuous circle to it all. And particularly if the user is using it in conjunction with the task system, right? So everybody's networked, everybody's aware of what's going on where, and everyone can direct their fire in a coordinated fashion when they have to onto adversary positions.
I guess each of these elements are good, SKUs that could be sold individually, but that task system, if you can get that to be widely deployed, that makes you sticky for a long time. And once a technology is being used, it doesn't get unused for quite a while in military, am I right?
Well, that's right. That's one of the things I love about this industry. It never goes away. There's always new technology opportunities in what are called technology spirals. And once you are embedded and you're in a program, you really have to screw things up to lose that. You're in for a long time. And we've had experience over many years doing exactly this and remaining the incumbent in programs in our previous incarnations, selling hundreds of millions of dollars worth of things. And so we're focused on, and we want to get our investors focused on, what the validating steps are that get you there, that get you essentially embedded and institutionalized. And we've had some recent great success with that this year. It's all on the new website under the news tab. And there are some highly validating events that have happened there. And we expect to continue to produce a good flow of that kind of news and communication through the end of the year.
There's going public is, from what I understand, fairly new to you. This is generally a private enterprise where it's all very, you keep your secrets closed. Mm-hmm. Does going public present any potential problems in terms of the business that you're in?
Well, there are, of course, many defense companies, right, that are public companies. In fact, they tend to be public companies. They can't always announce details of their contract wins and what they're developing due to security sensitivities. But it's certainly common for companies in this space to be public. I have previously led the build out of a public company to quite a significant level in this space, also a private company. I've founded companies and built them up that have become world leaders in their niche. So this, none of this is new to us, right? So, we know the terrain, we know the players, and we know what it takes to be successful. Not that it's not hard work, it is, and ultimately can have great products and technology, but it's all in the execution. So we're very focused on executing.
What will it look like when you know you're on the right track and that everything is going to plan? Like, what will that look like in terms of news flow? Do we see testing for military groups? Do we see sales? Will there be a point where it's like, you know, just not even before we get to sales, but like, you know, the wheels are turning because.
Yeah. And that's why I was referencing the news tab on the company's website at quest.com, because the list of items there are really highly validating. They're what I refer to as the gating processes you have to get through to know that you're on the right track, to know right. that you're going to win. The company has been, you know, nailing every one of those and even has had surprises on the upside with U.S. military asking us, for example, to incorporate tasks into their what's called their battlefield management software system called ATAC, used throughout NATO. We've also had Samsung recently ask us to incorporate tasks into their new tactical smart device that's going out to soldiers. We have public company partners like Mantech and like AeroVironment in the U.S., that are funneling contracts to the company now on the heels of the customer reaction that they saw. And we expect we'll just continue to attract big brother partners like that as well to pull us through into their programs, not only in the U.S., but beyond, because they all sell internationally.
Got it. Behind you there, you've got some of the technology on your manual. You
yeah. Well, this one always gets a lot of attention. So this is the micro drone missile that has all of the smarts in the nose cone and is magically able to just be released and find and track and hunt and kill with kinetic impact at 350 kilometers an hour, a hostile drone.
So no explosives, no chemicals that are going to be all over the battlefield, just
exactly.
A heavy nose that's going to hit hard.
And at a price point, it's very attractive for us, but it's attractive for the customer too, because they can treat it as an expendable item. So to them, it's disposable. And we like that part of that revenue model. On the other side of me, I have... some samples of our laser defense system. So this, it can go on a soldier's vest, right, or security personnel, and it will alert them, mm-hmm. alert all of them that there's a laser weapon in the area. This big brother version of it that can just be set out facing an adversary in a contested area, and it will also sound the alert. But it will also pinpoint onto the tasks display exactly where that laser weapon is. And again, as I say, you can have this, as it's designed to be, daisy chained onto other kinds of weapon systems, and the weapon itself then knows where that laser weapon is.
And so it's a decoy
for mobile operations. I'm sorry?
And then you've got your decoys to throw everyone off the Wi-Fi.
Right. And then there's this mobile version that just sits on vehicles for roving patrols, what are called, you know, mounted operations. So and that would be the same.
We're pretty used to military contracts kind of being, you know, a little bit blown out, toilet seats for $2,000 and whatnot. It strikes me that one of the things that you're looking to do here is not juice the military for every cent you can get, but give them something that actually is a reasonable upgrade for a good price that still makes a good profit for you. Am I correct there?
Yeah, I mean, our pricing philosophy is to value price what we're offering. So it's not what does it cost us to make, it's what's the value to the end user. So right. If, for example, you've got a swarm of drones coming in, and you're going to take casualties and a lot of materiel losses, and people have read about that mm-hmm. in the papers. What's the value of being able to stop that drone attack? What's the value of being able to save eyeballs against laser weapon attacks, right, and so on. So that's how we frame up the value proposition to the customer. The customers are usually pretty good at understanding that intuitively. Right. And sometimes they'll say themselves, well, whatever the price, what's the price of losing an eye, right? For soldiers, right, it's a lifelong expensive injury. Not to mention the effect on morale and operational effectiveness. So that's our philosophy. Customers appreciate that. You know, we're not selling a commodity. We're selling high value and high capability.
Can you tell us about the milestones that you expect in the next 3 months, 6 months, 9 months?
So already this year, we've gone through a number of these validating stages, and some of those are paid stages. So the company is now in revenue and expecting more through the end of the year. We hit the U.S. fiscal new year starting October 1st. There is September 30th. And so we'll have more granular visibility on how much more we're likely to see this year. And we also have our own Canadian forces who we're close to and have been trying to be very helpful. I'm very anxious actually to get some of our equipment into trials.
And Does the home team get a discount?
What's that?
Does the home team get a discount?
Well, we always like to support the home team, but you know we're bound to be serious about that for one by what's called fair and reasonable pricing regulations, and most favored customer regulations. So we have to price accordingly. But again, customers not focused on price so much as on capability. What this does to make soldiers safer. What it does to make them more operationally effective.
Does the Canadian military, perchance, in the attempt to support local industry, offer any assistance in terms of proving out the technology that you're selling?
Well, that's something that varies over time, and where they're in a position to be able to do that, I think they do try to do that. Okay. And certainly beyond the Canadian military, our trade commissioners around the world and our defense attachés are real gems for the most part. I've used them to great effect over the years to introduce our products into foreign markets. They're exceptional. Our Canadian military, I know, would attitudinally certainly wants to do everything they can. But at the end of the day, though, it's not charity. You have to be bringing them a valuable solution that solves a real problem.
Got it. I know that a lot of people are, politically necessarily have issues with supporting military. What I think is really interesting about your products, though, is that they really do focus on the defense part of defense. They're not going out there and dropping uranium on crowds of people. They're protecting the soldiers from attack and making them more efficient. Your kinetic drone there, if it makes an impact on an enemy position, it's not going to spray the area with uranium like some of the missiles do. So I find that really interesting and compelling part of the proposition.
Yeah, and I've always personally always preferred in the years I've been at this in the industry to be on the side of the angels, providing protective stuff. We're not in the arms business. We don't sell anything at the pointy end of the spear. Really, everything is about soldier safety and soldier enhancing effectiveness,
which I think most people can get behind. If the world ever changes to a place where there's no need for war, then that'd be great. But I think looking around, we might be a ways away from that.
Yeah, we don't see much evidence of peace breaking out.
No, not at present.
Sad for the world, but good for this industry and good for Quest.
So now that you're planning to go public, what exchange are you going public on and what's the ticker symbol going to be?
So we'll be on the TSX Venture Exchange. We expect we could be trading as early as this Friday. It's at the 18th of September, and the ticker symbol will be KWE, and that's on the website, and it's on the investor presentation that's downloadable from the website.
And as you go public, what's the current valuation of the company?
So our current valuation off our last financing, which was a concurrent financing with going public, was oversubscribed, puts the market cap at about 28 million with about 40 million shares outstanding.
That's pretty tight on the share structure and a pretty fair valuation, I think, considering what you have and what you're aiming to do. We've certainly bought in on your private placement. We think that this is a good set it and forget it. You guys aren't going to be disappearing in 6 months. And I think that the value proposition that grown-ups bring to actually doing business in a profitable way is a very different thing from what the markets have seen for the last couple of years. Yeah. So you know, I appreciate the guys with the gray hair who've been around the block a few times.
That's right. You know, the grays turned to white, so because that means I've been more experienced now.
It takes me forever to get the gray in here, so you know. David, is there anything that in your travels talking about your company that people never ask that you wish that they would? Is there a point of your business that you think is, you know, being experienced and being where you are that you think this is the real guts of it all?
Yeah, you know, you have to be close to the industry to ask some of the questions, to know what you don't know and what you should be inquiring into. You know, the most important thing to my mind is someone who's been an investor and has founded and built up private and public companies in this space is to be aligned directionally with where the market is going. That's one of the attributes I like about Quest, is that it's right in the sweet spot of the kinds of things the customers are asking for, both long-term and short-term. As I say, we have a pronounced focus on the special forces community because they're opinion makers and they have flexibility and pots of money and can move much more quickly. And they really provide a lot of reputational validation to what we're doing. That's just taking a playbook from, you know, what we've done before. But I would say that, again, as an investor myself in this industry over many years, the most important thing is to be aligned with the industry, be responding to where it's going, and to be fulfilling real needs and not to be chasing cool technology looking for an application.
Right. You've raised a bit of money. You've acquired some technology. I'm guessing your burn isn't so hard because you don't have need for 200 people in an office. Right. You're either producing technology in the development side or you're selling what you've built.
Right.
How much runway do you have currently if you didn't raise any more money?
Well, with the concurrent financing we just completed, the company will, I think, quite comfortably have enough cash to execute on its existing plan. We do get the question, you know, is the company like to be back in the markets looking for more cash to execute on its current plan? And I don't expect that to be the case. We are seeing interesting new potential, you know, add-on opportunities all the time. We do what I call kissing a lot of frogs, you know, to find the odd prints. And people come to us because they know this is what we do. And so if we saw something that was, you know, a strong strategic fit and had all of the other right attributes of what we look for in an opportunity, then yes, we could be back in the markets to fund that.
So financing for growth opportunities only, but if things go out to plan, you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's cash in the bank, the company's in revenue, it's just raised a whack of dough, so it's in a pretty comfortable position with a lot of runway to execute on the current plan.
Is there a grand technology out there that if you had unlimited resources that you'd be gunning for right now, or are you just comfortable exactly where you are?
Never comfortable.
Okay.
Part of the attraction of this opportunity to me is that this company can realistically be a platform for a global build out of something, you know, very, very significant. And so you always have to keep an eye on what are the kind of catalyst opportunities, you know, that could propel it there. And we see some things that are very interesting. You know, we confer with our capital markets partners and advisors on how realistic it is to think about taking on a new opportunity. We confer with management on how executable that would be. And would there be integration issues or not? Can we get a smart structure to the deal? So all of those things go into the mix, and we sift that as we consider interesting things that we're looking at. But are they out there? Yeah, certainly they are.
Great. Well, look, man, this is a different interview than what I'm used to, because what I'm used to in the public markets in the small cap space is a lot of promise and a lot of we're going to do this and we plan to do that. You guys, you're a set. You've got your technologies, you've got your products, you've got the network, you've got the money in the bank, you've got the runs on the board. You're in a sector that remains interesting and has potential for high upside. I try and find the wiggly stuff that no one wants to talk about.
Right.
But there's not a lot of that here. Your valuation is reasonable. You're going on the venture, not on the CSC. You've got a ton of shareholders that have jumped in before you've gone public based on what you've already built. I'm getting a little sick and tired of all the good stuff, man. What's the potential thing that can sink you?
Well, you know, geopolitical events are always a variable, but it's a deliberate part of our plan. And again, an attribute I like about Quest, that it over time will have a global diversified customer base, as well as a diversified portfolio, right, of technologies and products. And that very simply just de-risks the opportunity, right? Because military is everywhere, and the Homeland Security market is, they're always spending on something. The whole industry never just goes quiet.
Right.
And so you have to stay attuned and agile as to where those opportunities are, and we do. And we think that is going to allow us to be able to maneuver through whatever may come. And so we're pretty optimistic, feeling pretty good, not complacent. You know, we're very focused on executing and delivering results.
I think one of the things I really like about your business model is, like, I'm Australian, and I know that from family that have been in the military there, that some of the weapons that they use have been used for the last 60 years. You know, it's very hard to go in and say, use this weapon now because it's better, because you've got everyone trained on the old stuff.
Right.
What you're selling is things that add on to the existing military infrastructure to make it more effective. And I think that's such a smarter business plan than going in and saying, we're going to replace it all.
You put your finger on a good point. I have to say that, one of the things we know customers find very attractive about the TASC system is that when they put that on their weapon systems, particularly indirect fire systems like mortars and grenade launchers and heavy machine guns, they're not changing anything. They don't have to modify the weapon. They don't have to come up with a new type of ammunition. It just transforms the installed base of traditional weapons that are, you know, dumb in a sense, right, into smart weapons without having to make the investment in smart weapons technology. That's something that is very appealing to customers.
My only downside in it all is that it's going to make my kid want to join the military.
Well, at least we'll be helping him, I hope. Back further to safer distance and behind cover and having more effect.
Right. Man, this has been a great talk, and I'm really excited to see what can happen when you get on the exchange. We've been chatting for a while as you move towards going public, and every time we talk, I'm impressed with what you're building. So I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Similarly, Chris, thanks so much for your interest and your support, and we look forward to the next flow of news as we go public.
Fantastic.